Hello and welcome to You Will See, a foster and adoptive parenting podcast. This is Maisha Murray, I'm your host. I'd like to get started by telling you our family story. This is just a summary, and we will get into things more as we go. This episode will be a little more religious than others because it's my personal story. Some things might seem irrelevant, but they do have a point. I will get to it. I'll just summarize a few things first. All you really need to know is that I have two adoptive boys. One was adopted from a relative at birth. The other was a teenager adopted out of foster care while my husband was stationed in Tennessee. Currently, we have one biological girl, and I am very pregnant with another boy, about 38 weeks, getting induced next week, hopefully. We moved back to Utah, where we are originally from. We plan to continue fostering after this baby is a little bit older. We previously fostered for 2 years while in Tennessee and had another long-term placement of a 16-year-old boy for about 6 months. So my husband and I have been married for about 5 years now. When I met my husband, he was working towards becoming a police officer and intended to eventually join the FBI. Maybe as a detective, I think is what we were thinking. I was worried about this lifestyle, but I felt calm and I felt I could handle it. As we started looking into police officer jobs, we discovered that if my husband were to be in the best career path, he would need to have some military experience so that he could apply to the best departments in the country. What's funny is I had sworn most of my life I could never be a military spouse. I did not like the idea of an absent husband for months at a time. I didn't ever see myself leaving my home state where my family was. I thought I'd miss them too much. So, of course, after the idea popped into my head, I started to pray about it and seek spiritual confirmation about what we should do. I already knew my answer before I prayed, but I really didn't want the answer I was receiving, so I think I was hoping it would change if I prayed about it a little bit more. My sister-in-law called around that time and she said, you know, you don't have to stay in your home state your whole life. It might be good to go see other places, like here in my state. I know she was trying to convince us we could move to her state, but all it did was open my mind to living outside of Utah. That was the first piece of confirmation I received. I know many do not believe God talks directly to his people, but for me, God has on rare occasions spoken to me in a very organized and persuasive way. I don't think this is any kind of reflection of my spirituality, and if anything, it's a result of my stubbornness. I think Heavenly Father knows that unless he is a little more hands-on with his parenting with me, I would choose the wrong and often comfortable path and end up so much more unhappy than I thought I would be. Or at the very least, I would not grow as much. Heavenly Father and I have come to this understanding that my comfort is irrelevant to my long-term happiness, and because of my natural instinct to be comfortable, he has to jump in with some clearer guidance at times. I had experienced this kind of clear revelation only a couple other times up to this point in my life, one of which was when I was traveling in Guatemala for the first time. I went there completely by myself to volunteer. I had never really traveled, even with my family before then. So when I got onto the bus to go to the city where I would volunteer, I was literally shaking with fear. I glued myself to the window for the first hour of the 4-hour bus ride. Everything was so different. I felt like I had traveled to a different planet. I felt like I had made a terrible mistake. What was I thinking, going so far from home on my own as a 21-year-old who had never even visited more than 3 states? So, of course, I started to pray to know if I should turn back and run home. As I was praying, I felt the words, "Just wait, you will see." Those words came with an incredibly calming feeling as well as excitement at the same time. I felt reassured and more confident that everything would be okay. I could feel Heavenly Father's excitement for me. I compare it to the feeling that I have when my young kids get to experience Christmas for the first time. That excitement in their eyes when they see the lights and the presents and all the things. And I'm the one that's most excited about seeing them light up like that. I think that that's how Heavenly Father felt for me. He was just excited to see me light up. And it's so much more fun to just watch them experience the magic on their own. Of course, I'm not going to tell them what Christmas is until they're experiencing it. And I think that that's what Heavenly Father was letting me do as well. He wasn't going to tell me every detail of what I was going to experience while in Guatemala. He was just going to let me experience it. And of course, he was right. And those 3 months were the best months of my life up to that point. I really grew while I was there. My eyes were open to new challenges and to the very real struggles of many people in real poverty. That eye-opening experience was something that prepared me a lot to become a foster parent and adoptive parent. But that's a story for another day. So back to deciding if military life was right for us. I felt a similar fear about the idea of leaving home, and I was praying about military life. I felt those same words of comfort. You will see. The words felt like something a parent tells a child when they're about to experience something great about life for the first time. Like, here, try this pizza. It will be amazing and you'll never regret it. I know that's kind of a lame comparison, but that's just how the words felt. I could feel Heavenly Father's excitement for me, and I knew that if I followed this inspiration, I would not regret it. He was right about Guatemala, and I knew he would be right about military life. That's not to say that either experience was easy, but they both changed me and provided me with so much more than an easier path would have. So anyway, I told my husband I thought that he should join the military, and I was surprised because he had no hesitations. He was just kind of like, okay, sure, let's join the military. I think he was even kind of excited about it. Like, he really enjoys challenges, and he was looking forward to that challenge. He had to wait a few months before he could ship off because he was in school when we had made that decision. As we were waiting for him to leave, we found out that I was pregnant with our daughter. I made that kind of sound like it was an accident, but we had actually planned that, and while I think I must have been a little crazy, I know starting our family at that time was inspired. Although looking back, the timing was not very ideal, because I ended up being alone and pregnant and living with my mom while my husband was at basic training, and then he went straight to his job training course, and overall he was gone about 7 months. When he came back and was able to live with us, I had had the baby about 3 months before that. My husband became a father when my daughter was already 3 months old, and he had missed the birth. Although he had gotten to meet her, I flew out to see him once while he was at training, and then he got to come home for a weekend once as well. When he came home, he had only parented about 6 days of her first 3 months. It was a hard adjustment to catch my husband up on how to parent a baby. My husband had always been around babies due to his large family size, but being a dad was a very different experience for him. And our daughter was particularly difficult. She hated being a baby. She wanted to be free and capable and doing what I was doing. And this had great benefits because she did a lot of things early, but it also meant she had hardly slept. I needed constant stimulation to be happy. For the first little while, she slept 30 to 40 minutes. Increments. Most of her daytime sleep only happened if I was aggressively bouncing her or walking very quickly back and forth throughout the house. If I dared stop for even a second, she would instantly wake up and scream. If I showered, she would wake up. If I tried to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, she would wake up. It didn't help that we had no working air conditioning, and it was literally 112 outside. I lost a very unhealthy amount of weight, and I have never been so tired in my life, but of course it was worth it for that little girl. I had finally gotten her to sleep in about an hour and a half to 2 hour increments at night, and 45 minute naps on a schedule when we moved to our first state away from home. My husband was still not around that much because even when he was home, he had to be studying due to being part of a program with a 70% or higher fail rate. He still managed to help me with occasional housework. My husband is awesome. He came home and folded some laundry or played with our daughter for a little while, tried to keep her happy while doing homework, and I know that was really hard on him, but he worked really hard in that time to make family life work. a couple months into this lifestyle, intrusive thoughts about adoption and foster care kept popping into my head. My husband and I had discussed the idea of fostering before we got married. He knew it was something that I'd always wanted to do, and he was completely on board, but it was always something we talked about as if it was in the distant future. After we were in steadier lifestyles, after our biological kids were older, but the thoughts kept coming, so I indulged them. I started researching foster care, thinking maybe it would take years to prepare and I could start learning now. Well, about a week later, my sister called. In the middle of the conversation, she said, "Did you hear about our cousin, I'm going to use a false name, Brayden? He and his wife Helen are pregnant and they are looking for someone to adopt their baby." I didn't think much of those words in that moment. I asked if my sister was thinking about adopting because I knew she was having a hard time getting pregnant. My sister said that she didn't think it was right. And then she asked me something that I was not prepared to answer. She asked if I would be interested in taking the baby. I immediately thought, no way. I already had a hard enough time with my daughter. I couldn't handle two of those basically on my own. I immediately shot it down. But of course, then it started nagging at me, nagging at me. So I finally decided to pray about it. I cried more out of reluctance and shock when I received the words, "You will see." Combined this time with the reassurance of, "You can do this and you will love him." I remembered those words, but for some reason, I didn't really acknowledge the gender-specific word at the end, thinking maybe it was just like a kind of a coincidence or just something, you know, so it wasn't an it, it was a him. I think I doubted myself a little and believed that I could have been making that part up. I went through a lot of emotions over the next couple of days. I had finally semi-accepted it when I decided to tell my husband. I think I was looking for an out when I brought it up. I fully expected my husband to stop the idea in its tracks and just say no. He was already getting barely any sleep, and his life with our daughter was hard too. I expressed all my doubts in myself about how I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I had enough time. Someone else would take him and it would be fine. My husband did not at all respond in the way that I thought. I thought he would agree and say our lives weren't right at this time. We couldn't take a baby. Well, instead, my husband's just too great of a person, and he showed a very compassionate and understanding side of himself. I had never really even seen that side of him before. He responded with all the confidence in the world that I was fully capable of taking on that challenge. He said that we had been through hard things in our lives, but we were resourceful. We would have the support that we needed to be able to do that. That is still one of my most favorite memories of our marriage, despite the fact that it's not at all what I was expecting. It made it so much more real. I tried one more time to find someone who would tell me not to do this. I reached out to a good friend and told her what was going on. She immediately saw through my attempt to find someone who would tell me I'm crazy and that I should run from this. Instead, she said, "It sounds like you already know the answer and you should probably stop asking and just pursue what you know what is right." And she was right. So we reached out to my cousin and his wife. That conversation was a lot easier than I thought it would be. I was really nervous. He finally had called me back and I was in the middle of church and I stepped out to take it. And my cousin confirmed that he wanted us to take the baby. We discussed that it would be an open adoption, and I was fine with any amount of contact that was feasible. I remember feeling this rush of excitement along with disbelief. It didn't feel real until we went home for Christmas a few weeks later. I got more time with the biological parents, and I could see how real the pregnancy was. I found the biological mom to be an amazing, selfless, and kind person, and I will get into that a little bit more in other episodes, but for now I'll say I am very glad that we keep things open. The biological mom did not find out the gender until around 6 months into her pregnancy. A little while before this, I had had a dream about this blonde-haired little boy. We wanted to involve the biological parents in picking a name, and we had been having a hard time finding something that the men would agree with. In my dream, I heard his name. I shared it with the biological mom, and all four people involved immediately agreed that if it was a boy, it would be that name. I let the biological mom know about the dream I had, and she said she doubted the child would have blonde hair because they both had dark brown and almost black hair with brown eyes. When we found out it was a boy, it kind of confirmed to me that I had made the right choice and that that was my son. A few months later, we were flying out to prepare to meet the baby and arrange a living space for me and the two babies. We planned on having me stay there for a little while until the baby was born, and then I would drive back when the baby was able, because my husband had to get back right away and only had a holiday weekend to assist me in traveling and getting settled. The morning we left for our home state, the baby was born. We were able to meet our son later that evening. This felt like a miracle because my husband got to hold our newborn child in the hospital, something that he had missed with our daughter, and something that we thought he would miss again because the baby wasn't due for another few days. As our son grew, the dark hair he was born with turned bright blonde. His blue eyes did not turn brown. They actually are turning brown now, a few years later, but at the time they stayed blue. I knew he was the little boy that I had seen in my dream. This confirmation was particularly important to me because I had started to feel guilty about adopting a newborn when there were so many other waiting families who could not have children. This dream helped me to understand why and how big God's plan is in this world and how he did intend to bring this child to our family. And I know that that can be a controversial statement, and I will get into that topic as well in another episode. So just bear with me for now. I don't fully understand why, but I know without a doubt he was meant to be our son. I'm not sure why he had to come to us in this way, and I have a lot of thoughts about that. I am truly, truly grateful to my son's biological parents, who are selfless and amazing people. They've just sacrificed so much, and I will talk about that in a future episode as well. Anyway, so while we were still stationed in that initial training state, I started to wonder why I had been prompted to do so much research on not just adoption, but fostering too. By this point, I had learned a little better to stop fighting against revelation. So one day, a very strong prompting popped into my head. I told my husband the second he got home this time. At this time, I knew we were moving to the South in the next couple months. I told my husband that there was a child waiting for us in the South, and that we needed to become foster parents when we got there. He had also learned to just go with it, and he said, well, okay. We moved and bought our first home at his first official duty station. We purposely chose a 5-bedroom house to keep things open so that in case we wanted to take a sibling group or whoever would be sent our way. We originally thought we would stick to birth order, as was suggested by most people involved in the fostering system. We discovered it would be months or even years before we could get a placement younger than our 18-month-old. This was too small of an age gap, and honestly, I don't love the infant stage. I know lots of people love babies. I just don't. Well, I mean, I love my babies, but that stage is not preferable to me. As we got licensed, I started feeling like maybe I should look into teens. I had taught dance to teens before. I had been called as a youth leader for my church at the time, and I felt that I could handle teens. My husband was a little more worried, but still thought if we took the right precautions, teens would at least be better than babies because we wouldn't need to do diaper changes or midnight feedings. So we completed our training asking for teen placements. The social workers made it sound like there was this long line of teens just waiting for a home, so we were surprised when it took over a month to get a placement. We felt a little rushed because we knew we might be moving within the next 2 years, and some placements can last 3 or 4 years. This is why I started looking into waiting teens who were available for adoption, because we knew if we could adopt, then we could take the child with us, and it would kind of end up being about that 3 to 4 years of a placement. But the more we looked, the more it felt right. We looked at hundreds of kids' pictures and biographies from our state and from neighboring states. One kid stood out to me the most. He looked familiar. I felt like I knew him. When I inquired about him, the worker said they were not sure if he would want to be with a military family because he had siblings who had been adopted out and a brother who was still in the group home with him. The worker said they would ask him and get back to me, but they didn't. I inquired about a few more children, but I just kept thinking about that first child During that time, we received our first teen placement. We took him in because they said it would be a short-term placement of only a month or two while they figured some things out and they were trying to get him to move in with a relative. And we wanted to get experience to see what we'd be working with, so we were excited to welcome him into our home. But when a 16-year-old, half African-American, 6'2" kid walked into my house, I'll be honest, I was afraid and uncomfortable. I felt that same feeling as in Guatemala, where I wondered if I had made a huge mistake. I was comforted, and this time the words, "you will see," meant you will learn a lot. And even though this will be one of the hardest things you've ever done, it will be okay. And I will talk about that placement more in future episodes. And our 16-year-old ended up being with us for 6 months total. You can never really believe the time frame that they give you. But for now, back to adoption. Many inquiries came to roadblocks, such as they couldn't be placed with small children, or they couldn't be far from siblings. I kept thinking about that boy that looks so familiar. And at one point, I called back and bluntly told them I was still interested. I wanted to pursue this child. I wanted to know what he had said of whether or not he wanted to come to us. And he was the main child that I was looking into, and I wanted to know more. I had to become a squeaky wheel because they would not get back to me. I had to keep asking and asking. They finally called me back and they said that he was willing to be part of a military family. They were still pretty hesitant to let us meet him, and they were trying to take things very slow for a lot of reasons that I didn't understand. And still to this day, I think some of those reasons don't really make a lot of sense. One of the reasons they didn't want to place an adoptive placement was because we already had a foster placement, and they wanted us to be able to focus on our adoptive placement. Our 16-year-old's case was also changing, and it looked like he would be in the system for a lot longer. There was basically no end in sight, but we had to end things because, unfortunately, the military was going to move us at some point. So I had to communicate that pretty bluntly to our agency, that it was now or never, and that they needed to let us meet this kid because otherwise they were going to have to do an ICPC, which is basically very long and annoying paperwork to let a kid travel with us out of state or be adopted over state lines. And the word ICPC will scare any social worker. So once I started tossing that around, they were like, okay, fine, we'll get this kid in your home. So we were finally invited to meet him at his group home, and it was 4 hours from where we lived. We spent the weekend getting to know him. I was not afraid with him like I was with our 16-year-old. I felt very comfortable, actually. He made me feel comfortable. He was a very open kid, and he's just easy to be around. And I loved him quickly and easily. And this connection was very different from our 16-year-old, who took a lot more work to bond with and to have authentic love for. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, and I'll talk about that. I did love our 16-year-old. But anyway, this other kid, I felt excited, and it felt just right. He was required to do a few weekend visits before he could be placed in our home. Which made things very difficult having young children, because we had to drive about 9 hours in one day to go pick him up and bring him home for 2 days and then take him back again. And that was already difficult because my husband was gone all the time for the military. You think that people in the military are only gone for deployments, but no, they have trainings at least once a month. They have to work a 24-hour shift. There's all these things that come up all the time. And I was going to school full-time and had lots of other things going on in my life. And so those 9 hours of, well, 18 hours that we had to take in a weekend were exhausting. And it was like they were kind of trying to test how long it would take for him to get comfortable with us. And he kept asking to stay, and they wouldn't let him do it. And it was kind of frustrating on our end. It's kind of like trying to test how long it takes water to get warm by sticking it in the fridge. It didn't seem logical. We wouldn't know how long it would take for him to warm up until he could really live with us. So I wasn't sure what they were looking for. And maybe that's just my misunderstanding. I'm sure that they had their reasons. But weekend visits were not really life, because if our goal is to find out how they fit in everyday family life, it wasn't the same. Our weekend life was very different than everyday life. They also said the goal was to help our son feel comfortable, but he begged to stay with us. Every time he kept saying, "I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back." So I wish they would have just let him stay. But eventually they did, and they finally moved him in, and we adopted him about 6 months later. And I will talk about some things that happened in between when he came to us and when he was adopted. And I did receive that same kind of revelation, like, you will see, this will work out. And that came later when we were facing some challenges, and I still occasionally get that feeling of, it's gonna be okay, and you'll see, this is great. And I'm so glad that we adopted our teenager. I love him. He's an amazing kid, and I'm so glad that he's my son. And that pretty much brings us to now. My husband ended up getting out of active duty service, but not to become a police officer. He changed paths and joined the National Guard in our home state so he could pursue a medical career. So now he's getting some school done and trying to prepare so that he can get into a PA program. And I'm currently very pregnant and expecting a baby boy in the next few days. I'm hoping to get this up and going before the baby comes. Maybe when this is actually posted, the baby will be here. But here's some other interesting things about our family, because I'm kind of a nerd and I like to keep track of this stuff. Our first three kids all had birthdays in the same month within 6 days of each other. Our teenager's birthday is the median of the other two kids' birthday. And when I found out his birthday, that was also confirmation of, like, yep, you're supposed to be part of this family, because my husband and I used to joke that we should plan to have our next kid in the same month, because we didn't plan that with our other adoptive son. So it's just kind of a funny coincidence that worked out, especially because me and two other siblings are all born in the same month. So it's just funny that my kids are three in 1 month, and then this kid's going to be in a different month. And then the family I grew up with, there were three of us in 1 month and one kid in a separate month. And then we have gained one kid for every place we have lived since my husband joined the military. So apparently we can't move for another 4 years because I need a break. We'll see what happens. We gained 4 kids in 5 years of marriage, and that's been a lot, but every kid has been worth it. We do plan on continuing to foster and adopt, or doing whatever it is that we're guided to do when this baby is a little bit older. Our future is unknown. It always has been. You can't make plans when you're part of a military life or part of fostering. My husband currently plans to go back to active duty after becoming a PA, but we honestly, anything can happen. I invite you to continue listening as I get more in depth of what being a foster parent means and our experiences. I also invite you to follow along in our future adventures. And for what's next, tune into the next episode and you will see.